Today's message is entitled Trusting in the Present, Trusting God in the Present and for the Future. Trusting God in the present and for the future. I think sometimes we get lost in the future. We're worried about it, we're stressed about it, we're concerned about it. And sometimes we get lost in the past where we take a hurt or a grief or a pain or a loss from the past and we just live there, we hang there. We just let the enemy let us mull that over and over in our minds. And that's what we were talking about earlier, is taking captive those thoughts that are negative and that tend to bring us down. But what we really need to do is learn to trust God in the present and for that future while doing what Paul said, forgetting the things that are behind. The past is over. You can't change it, can't fix it, can't redo it, can't relive it. So let's live in the present and enjoy the present and plan for the future that is to come, but not stressing about it, because God has that future in the palm of his hands. Amen? Sarah Young, there's going to be several quotes this morning from Sarah Young. I really have enjoyed her devotional. We've read it over the years. And remember, she writes from the premise of Jesus writing to us. And so she writes this: some fears surface over and over again, especially fear of the future. You tend to project yourself mentally into the next day, the next week, the next month, the next year, even the next decade, for those of us that are really wacko with our planning. You just want to map it all out. You want to know every step of the way, every step of the journey, every step of the future. And God just really doesn't normally operate like that, unfortunately. But you visualize yourself even coping badly in those times. You know, if the enemy comes in and gives you a negative mindset, then when you worry about that future, you stew over it, and you go to worst-case scenario if you're not careful. And we need to guard ourselves with that. When a future-oriented worry assails you, what we need to do is capture it and disarm it. Capture those thoughts and disarm those thoughts. She continues, say to yourself, Jesus will be with me then and there. Whatever it is about the future that you're concerned about, Jesus is going to be with you then and there. With his help, tell yourself this: I can cope. I can handle this. Then come home to the present moment where you can enjoy the peace in my presence. Again, Jesus speaking to us through this devotional. She continues, your gravest danger is worrying about tomorrow. If you try to carry tomorrow's burdens today, you're going to stagger under the load, and eventually you'll fall flat. We need to guard ourselves that we're not doing that. If we try to carry tomorrow's burdens today, we don't have the grace for that yet. All you have is grace for today. Not grace for tomorrow is waiting for us tomorrow, but it's not. We're not in tomorrow yet, so you don't have the grace for it yet. So why worry about it? And remember, we talked about that a lot last year. Is Jesus said, don't worry, don't worry. And yet we tend to do it, don't we? And it says that if we do try to carry tomorrow's burdens today, we're gonna stagger under that load and eventually fall flat. So we must discipline ourselves to live within the boundaries of today. God has created a 24-hour bubble for us, and it's called today. And we, again, let go of the fearful past or the painful past. We let go of maybe our fearful future, and we enjoy the precious present. That's how God wants us to live. It's in the present moment that I walk close to you, Jesus says, helping you carry your burdens. Keep your focus on my presence in the present. And that's what we sang about this morning, his presence. And it's in the present moment that we sense that. And then as you anticipate what is ahead of you, you forget that I am still with you now and always. Remember, he said, I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. But I'll be with you always, even to the end of the ages. Then Psalm 32, verse 8 tells us this: I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. I will counsel you and I'll watch over you. I want to read that again. It's such a great verse. The Lord tells us and promises us that I will instruct you and teach you in the way you should go. Remember that other verse that says, when you begin to veer a little bit to the left or to the right, that you'll hear a voice behind you saying, no, this is the way, walk in it. God will lead and guide us into all truth. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He'll show us what's yet to come, and he'll prepare us for it so that the Word says his eye is always upon us. His ear is always open to our cry, and his arm is not too short to reach out and touch us at our point of need. Sarah Young adds this: I am leading you step by step through your life. That's what the Lord does. That's what the Holy Spirit does. Leads us step by step through our lives. Your future looks uncertain and may feel flimsy, even precarious, but that is how it should be. Secret things belong to the Lord, and future things are secret things. We don't know what a day is going to bring, Scripture tells us. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof, Jesus said. Tomorrow will take care of itself. Tomorrow's troubles and worries, all that will take care of itself. It's all going to work out because the secret things belong to God. When you try to figure out the future, you're grasping at things that are mine, Jesus says. Relax and enjoy the journey in my presence, trusting me to open up the way before you as you go, as you go. He's not going to give you the plan, like we said, for next week, next month, next year, whatever. It's step by step. It's moment by moment. It's as you go. Think of the parable about the 10 lepers. They came to Jesus to be healed, and he said, be clean, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, the Bible says, as they went on their way, they were healed. They weren't healed in that exact moment when Jesus told them, but he told them to go and show yourself to the priest. They obeyed that command, and as they went, they were healed. That's how God wants to direct our lives into the future, is that as we go, he'll be there for us. He says, trust me to open up the way before you as you go. Then Psalm 31, verses 14 and 15, David writes this: I am trusting you, O Lord. I am trusting you, saying, you are my God. My future is in your hands. We just need to tell that to the Lord. Next time you're concerned about something that you're facing, next time you receive maybe some bad news, and just you're beginning to stress over it, just tell the Lord this: I am trusting you, God. You are my God, and my future is in your hands. And I believe that whatever is in God's hands is the safest place that we could ever put it. Amen? And the Word says our lives, our very lives, and our times are in his hands. Proverbs 16:9 tells us this: in his heart, in his mind, a man plans his course. It's okay to plan, but he says this, the last part of that verse, but the Lord determines our steps. We can make our plans, but ultimately it's the Lord that directs our steps and leads us in the path that he wants us to go. But it's in our minds that we make the plans. And you know, there's nothing wrong with planning. You know, there's nothing wrong with trying to prepare. You know, you've got younger couples that are planning for retirement. We have older couples that are already in retirement. But whatever stage you're in, just trust the Lord that he has your future in the very palm of his hands. Another devotional, Daily Wisdom for Men, adds this: being unshakable, immovable, and steadfast is connected to a trust in what God says about your future. We're going to be talking a lot about trust this year, about trusting God in the present, trusting God for the future, trusting God in this crazy world in which we live. You know, as we've been out and about here back in New Orleans since we've been back, I'm hearing about, everything is so expensive now. That's all people are talking about, you know. Groceries are expensive. Gas is going back up. It had gone down, now it's going back up again. Just different things. Bread, $5 a loaf in some places. Depending on the milk you buy, $5 to $7 a gallon for milk or whatever. All kinds of stuff that, and everything seems to be skyrocketing. You know, inflation, we're going through cycles, all this stuff. And yet we need to remain, as we live in this life, while we're still on this planet, we need to be unshakable. We need to be immovable. We need to be steadfast. And we do that by connecting to our Father in childlike trust. If you really understand that there is a future with God that exists beyond this life on earth, then it's easier to trust Him with each moment of the temporary existence that we're living now. This is not our home. We're just passing through this place. Let's don't get so attached to this earth and its system that we forget that we're going to a better place. Our goal, our ultimate goal, is the hope of heaven. Amen? We talked about that last week. That's what we need to focus on. And so our future should never stay in our hands. We aren't in a contest to be the most self-reliant among men and women. We trust a God that we pledge allegiance to in this country. We are in His hands because He holds us there. God holds us in His hands. We can only remove ourselves from His hands by choice. Choice, not chance, determines destiny. We can choose to serve God or not serve Him. We can choose to continue to serve God or walk away. He's not making us. He's not going to force us to gather here together. He's not going to force us to read our Bibles. He's not going to force us to pray. We choose to do these things because we know that's what the Word asks of us to do, to be in the Word and in prayer and to gather together even more so as we see the end times approaching. Why? To encourage one another. To encourage one another. We need that encouragement that can only come from brothers and sisters in the Lord. And God knows that, obviously. That's why it's in the Word. And so we need to be careful that we are being obedient to that. So we are in His hands because He holds us there. He offers us protection. He offers us comfort. And He offers us the closeness of His love and care of us and for us. And then in Psalm 37, verse 37, that's a great psalm. Chapters 34 and 37 are two great psalms. But this is chapter 37, verse 37. David says this, "There is a future for the man of peace." There's a future for the person of peace. Men and women both, there can be peace in our future because of the Lord. Sarah Young writes again, she writes, "Vast quantities of time and energy are wasted in obsessive planning. Vast quantities of time and energy are wasted in obsessive planning." There are different personality types. Kathy and I have been doing some studying on the Enneagram, and with the Enneagram discussion of personalities, I'm a 6, and Kathy's a 1. So we're a little different, which is probably good. Opposites attract, and we balance each other out, you know? And so it's been fun kind of going through that. But a 6 is that obsessive planner. A 6 is the one that tries to cover for every possible contingency, you know? And so there's a lot of my time, I had to confess my sin, that vast quantities sometimes of my time and energy, my mental, is wasted in my obsessive planning. Because God laughs when we obsessively plan, doesn't He? Because He's got it all mapped out for us, you know? And we don't have to be that worrier, that stressor, that whatever. He says, "I know the plans that I have for you." Amen? And we know what that verse says. But vast quantities can be wasted in obsessive planning. We need to trust and not be afraid. And then she writes, as you look to me, I show you what to do now, but also next. I love that. God will show us what to do now, but he'll also show us what to do next. The next step, not the next out there forever, but the next step. Step by step, moment by moment, now and the next step. In Psalm 119:35, David writes this. He says, direct me in the path of your commands, for there is where I find delight. I love that. I love that word delight. The word says, delight yourself in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. Delight yourself in the Lord. And then, in the multitude of my thoughts within me, your comforts bring delight to my soul. The Comforter himself, the Holy Spirit, will bring delight to our very souls. So David prays, Lord, direct me in the path of your commands, because your demands, your commands, are a delight to me. Your commands are a delight to me. I want us to kind of think about that, that what the Lord is asking us of in Scripture and in the commandments, all the different commandments, they're not there to restrict us, they're there to protect us. For every command that God gave, not just the 10, but all 613 commandments in Jewish law, they're there for a reason, and it's to protect us. There's a reason God says, don't do this, and there's a reason God says, do this, because it's always for our best, always for our blessing and our protection. And finally this morning, I want to close with this from Psalm 143, verses 8 through 10. And he writes this, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. The Bible says that weeping may last for a night, but joy comes when? In the morning. Joy comes in the morning. David knows that, and he writes, let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. God is never going to stop loving you. He's the ultimate parent. As a parent and a grandparent, you know how much you love those kids and those grandkids. And no matter what they do or have done, you may not agree with it, you may not like it, it may be even disdainful to you, but you'll never stop loving them. You'll always love them, and that's the way it should be. That's how God looks at us. No matter what, he'll never stop loving us. There's always forgiveness with God. There's always forgiveness with him. We can always run to him for forgiveness. So David says, let the morning bring me word of this unfailing love that you have for me. Why? Because I have put my trust in you. I've put my trust in you, David says. So therefore, I know that your unfailing love is there for me. Then he says this, show me the way I should go. Show me the way I should go. For to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. We need to hide ourselves under the shadow of his wing. Amen? We need to just do that, to hide ourselves in the Lord. Corrie ten Boom, the movie and the book, The Hiding Place. They were a hiding place for Jews there in Holland. God is our hiding place, in this world we live in today. We can run to him and find shelter. He will be a shade by day for us. He'll be a defense by night for us. He's a shelter in the storms of life. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. And in this, verse 10, teach me to do your will. There's the key, that little word do. Teach me to do your will. It's one thing to know what God wants us to do. It's something else altogether to actually do it, to be obedient to it. So teach me to do your will, for you are my God. And may your good spirit, may the Holy Spirit, lead me on level ground. The Bible talks about taking us up onto the heights, but it also talks about bringing us to a spacious place, level ground, where it's easy to walk. There's no fear of tripping or falling because it's a level place. It's a smooth road that the Lord wants to bring us to, a smooth path in our lives. So because of all these things that we've talked about this morning, let's do our best to trust God in the present, right now, but also for the future that God has for us.